This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, it's been 2 weeks since police arrested suspected marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev. 2 weeks that, in many ways, have felt like an eternity for this city. And I'll include myself in that. Since those bombs exploded on Boylston Street, time has stretched and collapsed, blurred and stood still. When I step away from this microphone and my work, I admit, there have been moments where it's been hard to find my bearings. That's one of the reasons why I hadn't yet been able to bring myself to go to the informal memorial that sprung up in Copley Square. Well, today I went. The clear blue sky, the drone of traffic, the occasional siren, the hum of workers dodging around milling tourists. The life around Copley Square is beautifully, breathtakingly, defiantly normal in comparison to the atrocious abnormality that we've experienced in the past few weeks. Maybe it was that, the tenacity of life, and the love, fellowship, and downright optimism evident in that memorial, the hundreds of pairs of shoes, the stuffed animals, the flowers, and the handwritten notes from visitors who come to Boston from around the world. All of that made my half hour in Copley Square more emotional than I could have imagined. And I wasn't the only one. Here's a little audio postcard I recorded just a few hours ago.
My name is Fred Zuliga, and I'm from Coventry, Rhode Island. When I came up here, I wanted to see this here because I've run Boston 11 times and all. But seeing this here, it makes my eyes almost, I get emotional, which I'm doing a little bit right now. I've run 11 Bostons altogether. I hope to be running Boston next year because I'm going to be 75 years old. I want to show those people that 75-year-old man or older, we are still going to be strong next year, and we're going to be there.
What do I think? Take a look around you. And how many people do you see here that are crying and everyone's tears are the same color?
Can you give me your name and where you're from, please?
Charlie Monahan, and I'm from Braintree, Massachusetts. You don't take away our runs. You just don't. I'm sorry, it's just not done. I think you folks will agree with me. I ran Boston last year. I want to try to get a bid this year. I'm 100% disabled Vietnam vet. The last 10, and I'm 73 now. I'm totally amazed how my thinking has just done a 180 as to humanity. It's part of my problem all these years is Vietnam, and I've seen people at their worst. I've now officially seen people at their best.
So here hanging on a lamppost is a New York Yankees jersey, and attached to it is a note that says, "In times as these, we become one team. We are one nation. May prayer and time heal all. We are Boston strong. With all respect, Lyman, Steinbrenner, all Yankees families, New York loves Boston."
My name is Melissa Kale, and I'm from Portland, Oregon, but I'm currently from Brighton. It definitely touched me. I'm a mental health counselor. So I feel very moved by what went on, and I actually ran the last 5 miles of the race to come down here for the first time to check it out.
Yeah, I see you're wearing the shirt, the Boston Strong 5 miles, mm-hmm. last 5 miles of the
we'll
race.
We'll decide when our marathon ends.
What are your favorite parts of what you see here?
The shoes. I think it's really cool that people left their shoes, a lot of people who ran. And just the prayer candles, the different faiths that are being represented here. You know, it's not just the Christian faith and all the patriotic symbols. It's just moving.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thanks
you.
A lot. And here, attached to a bench and surrounded by stuffed animals and flowers and running shoes, is a sign that says, "This is a quote from Leonard Bernstein that the Wellesley Symphony Orchestra is hanging on to. This will be our reply to violence, to make music more intensely, more beautifully, more devotedly than ever before."
Hi, my name's Alicia Lawton, and I live in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's tragic. I know victims, and I work as a nurse, so I've had experience with the victims, and it's just, I don't know, it's impossible to really kind of put your mind around all the human suffering, and I don't know, there's just really no way to describe it, but I've never been more proud in my life to be a resident here, because the people really, truly came together and did everything that was necessary, and I think as a community we're really going to heal from this, and this is where it all starts, you know. Once all of this is gone, I think this is all going to be something that we keep in our hearts forever, and we're all going to learn from this experience, and no matter what, we're going to all be stronger for it.
And here, hanging on a barricade, surrounded by dozens and dozens and dozens of pairs of running shoes, is a sign written by a 12-year-old named Alex. And the sign says, "I wrote this for the victims of this tragedy." Sweetly misspelled T-R-A-G-I-T-Y. "I wrote this for Boston. I love Boston. Boston is strong. The bombers are not." And those are some of the notes I read and people I met today in Copley Square. Well, shoes and stuffed animals and notes make up the physical memorial in Copley Square. But in the days immediately following the bombing, musical tributes quickly spread on the web as well, including this one from singer-songwriter Stephen Randall, who lives along the Marathon Course in Wellesley.
On Patriots Day, we line the streets to cheer our heroes running to their dreams. As they reach Heartbreak Hill, they didn't know that they faced a greater heartbreak still. A greater heartbreak still. We will stand.
Well, again, that's from singer-songwriter Stephen Randall, who lives on the Marathon Course in Wellesley. And joining us now to talk a little bit more about musical tributes to Boston is John Kovach. He's the director of the Institute of Popular Music at the University of Rochester. He joins us today from the studios of WWXI in Rochester. John Kovach, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, let me start by asking you, so many of these tribute songs were written, produced, and posted online within just a few days of the April 15th bombings, and not just from Bostonians, but from people all over the country. Have we ever seen anything like this?
It really is fantastic, and in many ways, I mean, it's certainly a tragic circumstance, but the sort of spontaneous response by folks all over the country must be incredibly heartwarming for those of you there in Boston. I sort of attribute it to maybe the rise of the kind of Twitter phenomenon. You know, years ago, after the Twin Towers came down, Bruce Springsteen brought out an album not too long after that, The Rising. Of course, brought out by a major artist on a major label, and it had a tremendous amount of impact for a lot of folks. But here, after this tragic event, it's like instead of one artist, one big company, everything is sort of rising up from all these different kinds of places, from independent artists all around. I think that's fascinating.
And it may be sort of yet another shade of what another thing that this bombing and the investigation thereafter has brought out, and that's the crowdsourcing or the crowd-based reaction that we've had to everything that's gone on in Boston. I mean, now it's filtered its way into how musical tributes are done.
Well, you know, we're living at a time where it's never been easier in a certain sense to make an album or make tracks and get them out and available to people because of the revolutions in digital recording. So maybe there's never been quite a time like the current one for something like this to happen the way it has.
Well, you know, you mentioned Bruce Springsteen and The Rising, which was a terrific album. But as you also mentioned, it was very professional, polished, studio produced, whereas a lot of these tribute songs, first of all, they were written in a hurry. I mean, just in, you know, hours or days after the bombings, many of them recorded just on home equipment. So they're a little more raw and possibly, but equally heartfelt than those polished studio recordings. And here's another one. It comes from Michelle Bonilla. She calls herself an urban contemporary Christian artist in Brooklyn, New York. And we'll hear a little bit of the middle of the song because she echoes the words that were famously written by 8-year-old bombing victim Martin Richard on a photograph that showed him holding a particular sign. So here's Michelle Bonilla and her tribute to Boston.
No more hurting people. Heard the voice of a small child gently say to me, no.
So that's Michelle Bonilla, who sounds like she may have recorded that in her bedroom, but she's got a beautiful voice, first of all. Yeah. I wonder, John Kovach, what her song and the songs like it, how do they fit into what the purpose of tribute music is in the modern day anyway?
Well, I think that's your observation about her having a fantastic voice is absolutely right. And almost the rawness of the sound of that gives it a kind of an intimacy that it might not have if it were more professionally produced. I think what you get when you hear these tributes that are made so quickly after the event is you get something more like a spontaneous reaction. If you've got to put a studio record together, somebody like Bruce Springsteen doing it years ago, you've got time to reflect, you've got time to change, you've got time for your views to maybe mature a bit. But what we hear in these things, I think, is something more like the immediate reaction, the immediate sort of emotional outpouring to these tragic events. And that's what I find most fascinating about them.
Well, let's listen to one more. This is in a different genre altogether, and it comes from Trey Griffin, a.k.a. Sharkbite, who is a rapper out of Houston, Texas.
Come on.
Just put your hands on up, look up to the stars, everything's gonna be okay. No matter who you are, stay strong, stay strong. Come on, it's gonna be okay.
Hello, America. My name's Trey. I'm a rapper from Houston. I've got something that I think I'd like to say. I know sometimes in this life things don't go your way, but you gotta take it like a champ. The Boston way, they took a shot, but man, they looking great. That's one tough city, they hop right back up the next day. My heart goes out to anyone in the USA who's going through a struggle. Just hold tight to your faith, and if you need someone, I'm here. I'd love to put a smile on your face.
All right, so that's Trey Griffin, aka Sharkbite, out of Houston, Texas. John Kovach, let me ask you, someone on my Facebook page asked, who's going to be the Bob Dylan of our generation who can capture the voice of people in their time of crisis and need? But upon hearing these, I'm not sure we need sort of a singular tribute song.
Yeah, I think you're right. To quote Dylan, the times they are a-changin'. And it used to be that the way music came to us through very limited channels meant that only a few people had the ability to have that kind of power. But thanks to the internet and digital recording, as I was saying a little earlier, all kinds of people are out there making all kinds of music. And it really is just a different time. I wonder if it really would ever be possible for somebody to have the kind of effect that Dylan had in the 60s or the Beatles or groups like that now. The world, our public is so in many ways fractured, but in a good way, allowing a lot more people access. The one thing that I find really interesting about these songs is that if you just read the lyrics all by themselves, they wouldn't have the same kind of power as they have along with the music. There's something about adding the music in a particular kind of way that makes the emotion so much more palpable, and it just gives it so much more power. Nobody really understands exactly how that works. Record companies would like to know. Music theorists and musicologists would like to know. We all have our theories. But there's something that has been happening with music in that way down through the centuries. And I think that's a lot of what we're feeling when we hear these songs and we think about how much power they have.
Well, John Kovach is director of the Institute of Popular Music at the University of Rochester. Professor Kovach, it's been so great to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Me too. And my best wishes to all of you there in Boston.
And listeners, I have to let you know that we've got links to all these songs that you've heard today at radioboston.org. And while you're there, let us know what your favorite tribute song to Boston has been so far. We'll go out with a little bit more of Sharkbite out of Houston, Texas, with his tribute to Boston and Boston, keeping Boston strong. There's more in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.
Just really look into your heart and dig down. You've got it in you to push through any situation. Take the frustration, turn it into motivation. A revolution is what we need for this generation. For peace, for love, for everything above negative concentration. Come on, people, let's take back this good old nation.
This one's for Boston. Stay Boston strong, guys. Y'all are beautiful.
It's
it's okay.